drivers of electric cars could be given green number plates that allow them to use bus lanes and park for free. The Department of Transport is running a 12-week consultation in England, as the government hopes it will boost electric car sales, helping it achieve its 2050 target of net zero emissions. What do you think? Well, let's talk to Councillor Jim Rogers. My goodness, he's still alive. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thank you. I haven't talked to you in a while.
No, you haven't.
What do you think of this idea, Jim?
Well, Stephen, they've obviously got to do something in order to attract electric cars to people. Now, I'm fully aware that sales have increased, but not dramatically. I don't think it's at all fair, and I don't think that the government should be going down this route, but who am I to chastise our government? I'm wondering, will they try and do the same thing here in Westminster, same as Westminster, even though we don't have an assembly or an executive? But one of the biggest issues that people have raised with me about their electric cars is the shortage of charging points. We're falling very badly behind. Some of them aren't even operational, and that leaves people high and dry.
So there's charging points that... There's charging points, Jim, that have been put in that don't even work. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, there's quite a number like that, unfortunately, and that creates big difficulties. Now, I personally wouldn't be attracted to an electric car at this stage. I prefer having my petrol car. And as you know, it's not so long ago that there was a big push on for people to buy diesel cars, and now that has gone the opposite way. So there's a lot of issues that has to be raised on this matter, but I think it's grossly unfair to allow free parking as well as driving in bus lanes. I think this is just going far, far too far in order to encourage people to go electric.
Well, why not, Jim? If it's going to help save the environment,
The air we breathe is just absolutely horrendous. But in saying all that, I still have not been convinced that it's the way forward, that all of us should change to an electric vehicle. There's so many things that need to be done, and the main one is all to do with charging points. And if you go out, look around Belfast, they are few and far between, and that certainly needs to be addressed.
Well, the environmental journalist Jeff Gazzard's with us today. So we've got charging points that don't work, they're bust in Northern Ireland, according to Councillor Rogers. And actually, now the next of it is, if we buy a petrol or diesel car, we're going to be isolated even more when we see these electric car drivers tiddling down the bus lanes, Jeff.
Well, this is a consultation, and the government has suggested that free parking and allowing electric vehicles in the bus lane might be the way forward. I don't agree with one of those. I don't agree that vehicles should be in bus lanes. They're called bus lanes for a reason. They're for buses.
Why do we like taxis into them and bicycles?
Because taxis are part of a public service.
Well, they're not buses.
Hierarchy.
Cyclists aren't. You get a cyclist in front of a bus, and the bus, you have no chance.
No, this is the fallacy of the argument that everybody is more important because they're in a car. There's a hierarchy of transport that is sustainable, and this movement to electric cars will happen. We are looking at going all electric by 2040. That's the government's target. And their consultation on how we can achieve that is what's currently underway. Can we have some minor incentives for a limited period of time to get these things moving? Now, cyclists should be able to use bus lanes. There's no question about that. Taxis with more than one passenger, in my opinion, should be able to use bus lanes, not private hire taxis. But everybody, in a sense, in an urban area like Belfast, should be commuting by public transport. Now, what do you do about the health issues and the carbon and the climate change issues of fossil fuel vehicles? You change them to electric as soon as you can. And nobody can argue with that. However, along the way, there will be 2 or 3 out of 100 electric charging points that have either been vandalised or aren't working. You can get an app that works in Northern Ireland that shows you where they are and whether they're working or not. So the idea that people can't manage suppliers on the move with the aid of an app is actually a bit bogus. You can do that. We've all.
Well, there you go. You're bogus, Jim Rogers. What you're saying is bogus.
It's a lot of
voters.
Hold on, Jim.
A lot lot of older people don't even have mobile phones. They certainly have no apps. And all I'm saying is that we need to, in the first instance, do
what type of person, Jim, doesn't
of electric charging.
Jim, what type of person in this modern world, whether they're old or not, doesn't have a mobile phone? Absolutely, nearly everybody has a mobile phone.
No, that's not true.
Well,
that is not true.
I don't think we should be.
Statistics. That is not correct.
Well, maybe old people need to go out and get a mobile phone.
Well, that may be the case, but I know a lot of older people who just don't want them whatsoever.
Why?
But it's still...
It's part of modern life, isn't it?
Well, this is a big issue. Let me stress, I'm not against electric cars, far from it, but we need to get this issue right. It may be fine in England, Scotland, Wales and the Republic of Ireland. They may well have plenty of charging points. We don't. And that's something that needs to be immediately addressed. I was talking to a chap a few months ago who had just bought an electric car, and he told me, he says, Jim, it's been embarrassing. He thought the councils were responsible for these charging points. I says, no, we're not. He says, I was left stranded and I had visitors in the vehicle. So that's not good enough. And as you know, we do lag behind on certain things. And this is one that we are falling behind on.
Lag it behind quite a lot, don't we? 0-30-30.
No, not necessarily, Stephen. I couldn't agree with you there.
You couldn't agree with you? You're telling me that we've now got these electric charging things and they're bust. And you don't think we lag behind?
They're not being serviced often.
Well, why not?
Responsibility.
So we don't even have a government.
It's from the Department for
Infrastructure. All right. Here's the first call of the day on this. Darren. Morning, Darren.
Stephen, how are you doing?
Doing okay today, actually. I'm top of the world today. I got up this morning. I'm in good form. I'm getting a wee holiday on Friday. So I'm doing all right.
Well, listen, just a wee quick point. At the minute in charging points in Belfast, if you have an electric car, you can park at that charging point all day long without a parking charge. If that happens around Belfast and you don't have to move after your car is charged, how can there be any free points for everybody else to charge their cars?
Hold on a minute, I didn't know this. Tell me that again.
If you park your electric car at a charging point in Belfast,
yes,
your car can be left there all day long without a fine or without getting a ticket.
Can it?
Yes.
Only if it's plugged in charging. If it's not plugged in charging.
That's fine. Well, obviously they're going to leave it plugged in charging. It's a free bargain.
It'd save you a few grand a year.
Correct.
There isn't free parking. There isn't free parking. You can only park at a charging point when you're charging your car. And the reason
how do you find out if your car is charged? How does somebody find out if the car is charged to actually give them a ticket? They don't.
No, the meter on the charging point and the light as well changes, so you know when the car is charged. Equally, if you're the driver, it tells you how long it's going to take.
What do you make of these electric cars? The proposal, Darren, is that these electric cars will be able to go down a bus lane.
Stephen, I'm a taxi driver here in Belfast.
All right, well, look, I know where you're coming from straight away then.
And that's going to start to annoy me at the minute, but at the end of the day, electric cars are fine and taxis are turning to electric, but it's cost-effective.
Taxi drivers aren't into electric cars.
There's five at the minute
in
the electric cars.
Yeah, but the vast majority of you lot are as pollutant-heavy as the rest of us, and yet you lot get to go down the bus lane.
Stephen, I don't. I'm one of the ones that's excluded.
Oh, you're excluded?
We're not a public hire taxi. We're private.
Yeah. You see, I'm trying to work out the logic when I think it was Jeff Gazzard suggested this morning, Darren, that, look, if there are two or three people in a taxi, they should be allowed to use a bus lane, right?
No, I think that's wrong.
I'm trying to work out the logic of why a taxi should be able to allow a bus lane if they're car sharing and a private motorist can't. There's no difference to the impact on the environment. None.
There is.
No, there's not, Jeff.
I'm driving a Mercedes car here.
Yes.
And there's a black taxi beside me right now. Now, no harm to a black taxi driver, but that taxi of his is more pollutant than mine. I've got the AdBlue system added where it detoxifies. He hasn't. He's just got a black taxi which is spurting out black fumes here that I can see. And you're telling me that he's got one passenger and he's allowed to use the bus lane. He's one passenger in his car.
Yeah.
But yet he's allowed to use the bus lane.
How is it logical?
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Jeff Gazzard?
The answer is, right, taxis are available for public hire. You can stop them anywhere. They have to have curbside pickup and
yes,
drop
off. Yes, we do all that. But how does that help the environment?
Well, what it does is you've got vehicles, including taxis and private hire vehicles, who are part of public transport hierarchy. You either go by bus or you walk, you take a bike, or, depending on your income and where you want to go, you either hire a taxi or you ring up a private hire company.
But we know all this. But Jeff, I'm sorry, because I get wound up every time someone like you starts saying this, right? So here we go again. And here's all I would say to this. How is a public hire taxi or any type of taxi any more serving the public than a private motorist who is bringing members of the public in their car with them to work?
If
a parent starts off at home in the morning and they've got the choice, they send their kid on a bus or they send their kid into a taxi, or they take their kid to school themselves, there is the same impact on the environment.
No, there isn't.
Yes, it is. Yes, there is. They're not just going to work themselves. They're taking a passenger in the car to school.
No, they're taking up road space that could be used for more people.
No, that's not true.
Yes, they are.
If they get into a bus, they do. But I'm talking here about the privileged taxi drivers who, for some God-unknown reason, get to use a bus lane.
It's not the taxi drivers that are privileged. It's the passengers and the numbers who use that service over a 24-hour, 24/7 period. That's what's wrong with this debate, right? You don't drive everywhere in a car with passengers all day long, but taxis do.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
It'd be ridiculous.
Well,
a taxi isn't full all day long. I see. Taxi drivers drive about, going down bus lanes when there's nobody in their taxi.
Correct.
Well, taxis can't make money unless they're carrying passengers. And over a 24-hour period, they will be carrying and making 2 to 3 trips an hour, right, with 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 passengers. That's the economics of how taxi driving works. Sure. It's a public service that's part of that hierarchy. And if they've got...
Is that not exclusive to one form of taxi driving? Is that not exclusive to... Why? I am taking people to work as well. I've got a car for a year. I take people to work.
That's a different question.
Sometimes, not again.
A taxi license and the taxi charging is different from the cost of market entry for a private hire.
Councillor Rogers.
Who is cheaper.
Let me bring in Jim Rogers again. Councillor Rogers, how green is Belfast City Council? How many electric vehicles do you lot have?
Well, we've got a number and we're continuing to purchase more.
Are your bin lorries electric?
No, but we are changing, Stephen.
Are they diesel?
Make no mistake about it. We want to lead by example.
Well, you're not leading by example so far, making all of us put everything in the multicoloured bins that are like flags, for goodness sake. You get all the colours out. And you lot are
changing the subject from electric cars to bins now. Let's keep on about the electric cars. No, we are in the process of purchasing now. We change our vehicles every so often, so you just can't decide after 12 months we're getting rid of these.
Well, no, electric cars have been around quite a long time.
And getting electric ones.
Electric cars have been around quite a long time. I doubt
they have, and as I said earlier, sales are increasing rapidly.
Okay.
There's great incentives, major price reductions.
So would Jim...
They are more expensive on electric vehicles, you can understand.
So, Jim, would Belfast City Council have a plan in place now to replace its whole vehicle fleet with electric?
I'm not saying the whole fleet, but certainly we do have a plan and we're always thinking and working ahead on all of these issues.
And that plan, what parts of the fleet have already been decided to go electric?
Well, most of our vehicles would be bin lorries and that's the route we are going down at the moment.
So are the bin lorries has that deal already been done?
Not completely, but we're certainly a fair distance down the track.
How many bin lorries do we have?
I couldn't give you the exact
amount, but we've got a fair number.
Must be a fair number. So when you say down the track, that it's been priced and the plans in
place
to buy them?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
And what about the mayor's car? Is that electric?
No, it's not.
I thought you said leading by example, Councillor Rogers.
Yes, we are, but again, remember what I've just said.
Now, when you and the sheriff, you went around the city on your horse.
Well, we don't change our vehicles every year, 2 years. And it's the same with the Lord Mayor's vehicle, which is a BMW.
Diesel?
The backup cars are Skodas.
Is it a diesel? The backup cars?
One of those are, yes.
What's a backup car?
Just recently.
What's a backup car?
Well, in other words, the Deputy Lord Mayor may have an engagement, or the High Sheriff, or the Chief Executive. Or the car itself could break down, so we need another vehicle to take the Lord Mayor or the Deputy Lord Mayor or the High Sheriff or the Chief Executive to an appointment or an engagement.
How many backup cars do we have?
Well, we have the BMW and we have two Skodas. So, look, don't let us start changing the subject here. That has been the case for many years.
I just find that interesting. So each of those individuals all has a car sitting, just ready if they need to. Would it not be cheaper for them to get a taxi?
No. Stephen, don't be so ridiculous. The Lord Mayor.
Not the Lord Mayor.
High Sheriff going along what you're describing. I mean, the thing's ridiculous. Do you want them to jump on the bus next?
Well, that wouldn't be a bad idea sometimes.
Boris Johnson, when he was Mayor of London, used to go around everywhere on a bike, Jim.
Yes, that's correct.
Didn't do him any harm. He's the main man now.
Yes, that's true. But I don't see us changing our position in regards to...
And you don't think Belfast City Council should lead by example by all of those backup cars being electric, the Lord Mayor's car being electric?
No, that will happen in due course. But the point that I'm making... Whenever we decided on purchasing the car, the electric vehicles were not as popular as they are today. And we still come back to this problem. Lots of people have said to me they would buy an electric car tomorrow if it could be guaranteed that the chargers in Belfast and elsewhere are working.
Right.
And
look, there's an issue here that we're ignoring.
Jeff, our biggest problem is... And if you drive around Belfast, the charging points are few and far between. And
Jim, I understand.
Hold on, Jeff. Let's bring Frank Shivers in this morning as well for the Northern Ireland Conservatives. Would you be going green with an electric car anytime soon, Frank?
Well, I think we all got to do our bit, Stephen, and it's very important that we do. But, you know, if you take out the lack of infrastructure and the range of these vehicles, which is our major issues in themselves... We're missing a big point that these electric vehicles are way more expensive than the current vehicles that we have.
Oh,
I mean, a Nissan Leaf, which is quite a small vehicle, is £26,180. And the reality of it is that the majority of us can't afford them. The cost of insurance
with a scrappage scheme where you get money for your old car, with a government incentive which still exists but have been reduced, they are affordable.
I've just said
they've fallen, but they are still affordable. And here's why they're affordable. It's not because of the front-end incentives. It's because they're cheaper to run. The issue of infrastructure on streets is one part of the problem. And I agree completely that it needs to be more available. But most people will be charging their electric cars overnight at home.
Look, if I put a brand new system into my house, it would be cheaper. It would be cheaper for me to run my house and heat my house. But I can't afford to put a brand new heating system. These cars, even on the second-hand market, they're £6,500 more expensive on average.
Right, but they don't need servicing because they don't consume anything, and they don't need.
You're missing the point. You cannot.
No. The point is, car ownership is over 3, 4, 5, 6 years. It includes the upfront cost of the vehicle. It includes vehicle excise duty, which you don't have. It includes cheaper insurance, buying any petrol or having major servicing at the same level as you do with an internal combustion engine. It's the life ownership costs of the car that are cheaper for electric vehicles. Trust me.
But you're missing the point. people can't afford to buy them initially. I understand the cost savings, and they're fantastic. Great. Well done. And as I said at the start, take away the lack of infrastructure in the range, which are the major issues.
Okay.
But no, the range isn't an issue. The range issue is an utter fallacy.
Listen, if there's one thing I know living in Northern Ireland, we should never keep someone called Big Davy waiting. Good morning, Big Davy.
Stephen.
Good morning.
You please ask.
You're a black taxi driver, are you?
100%, yes. Right. 24 years now.
Right. And let me guess, you think you're entitled to piddle down a bus lane? Or tiddle down, whatever the word is.
Yes, why not?
Of course, why not?
But the question I want to ask is,
why should you be allowed to go down? Why should you be allowed to go down a bus lane?
Why should I not?
Yes. Well, why should you?
Me personally, the city council made them rules. I just go by the rules. Full stop. You know, if they change it, they change it.
The city council did not make those rules. The rules have been made by the Department of Infrastructure Transport Northern Ireland.
Well,
anyway, you have a question for Councillor Rogers, Big Davy.
Well, why Councillor Rogers, I'd like to know why London Council is giving so much, like £10,000 to £12,000 towards a brand new electric taxi, which Belfast, I don't think you'll get a penny off the Belfast.
Well, the reason is we're not responsible for anything like that.
How come Liverpool Council
and elsewhere have greater powers than what we have? Our powers are limited, though we have got more since the new super councils were introduced.
And what were you saying about these councils, Davy? These other councils?
Well, the councils in England, maybe Wales and Scotland too, is subsidising the drivers. You hand in your vehicle and the councils is getting something like £10,000 to £12,000 per person.
Are they?
If you are a registered taxi driver in London.
Are you sure about this?
Yep. You check it out, Stephen. Full stop.
My goodness.
All I can say is the Belfast Council's gangsters. Full stop.
Well, no. We can't say that. That is ridiculous. That's an outrageous comment.
I would ask you to withdraw that comment immediately.
Well, we will.
You're grossly unfair.
Yes, that is grossly unfair. It's grossly untrue, and we'll certainly withdraw it without equivocation. What a ridiculous thing to say, Jim. Can I pick up on something that you said earlier? Because you said to me it was outrageous when I suggested, I don't know, the Lord Mayor, the Deputy Lord Mayor, the Chief Executive using a bicycle or using some other form of transport, getting a taxi, whatever. But in this new world where maybe radical thinking is needed, given the environmental crisis that there is, why should a Lord Mayor or whatever in this day and age, when we're tackling the climate crisis, have a gas-guzzling, huge vehicle? Like, is that not of a time of the past?
Well, Stephen, we in Belfast City Council examine all of these things. Now, the Lord Mayor, the Deputy Lord Mayor and the High Sheriff use their own vehicles to come into the City Hall to be collected. It's rare now for any of those vehicles to go out to their homes. And we have cut down there because we felt it was only right and proper. But there's occasions whenever, for example, the three civic dignitaries, they may have a car problem, so they'll have to be picked up from where they live. But we're always trying to save money. We're trying to be progressive.
But I guess...
No mistake about that.
Yeah, but I get... Jim, so... And I know that to some people this will sound ridiculous, okay? But what we're trying to do with the Lord Mayor and the whoever else it is, Chief Exec and whatever, that if there is a big occasion, then you've got this big, beautiful, prestigious motor which is carrying the Lord Mayor of the city. And I get that because appearance is important. I'm just asking you that in this day and age where climate change and the environment is at the very top of a worldwide news agenda, have times changed to the extent that actually what would be the right appearance would be for our Lord Mayor to be travelling in a small car, in a car which is deliberately sending out the message there is no prestige around this. This is a form of transport which is the most environmentally friendly. Is that not even up for debate, Jim, within the council?
We're discussing all of these issues, but you can just at times go too far. Take, for example, the three civic dignitaries. They have all got very valuable chains of office. Very expensive.
Much are they worth?
Solid gold.
Solid gold.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned about...
I bought a silver chain for 30-odd quid about a month ago.
Well, you mentioned Boris Johnson driving around London.
Yes, on a bike.
On a bike. Now, in his position, there was no chain of office. Unlike the Lord Mayor, Deputy Lord Mayor and High Sheriff in the city. And it's the same in England, Scotland, Wales and the Republic of Ireland. You will find that is the position, that they've all got beautiful limousines because they are somebody of importance. The Lord Mayor is the first citizen of Belfast.
Yes.
You've got to consider all of these things, but we're always...
No, but I don't think you're listening to me. I'm saying... Yeah, but
the ratepayers...
I'm not too sure you're taking in what I'm saying. All I'm asking is that in the past... We did put prestigious vehicles around Lord Mayors and other dignitaries, but in this new world, should we be continuing to do that? I'm only asking that question. James and Temple Patrick. Morning, James.
I think we're missing the point, Stephen. I think electric cars have a place in society, but so have the new cleaner diesels. For example, most of the new diesel cars, you put AdBlue into the tank.
That's right. I've got that.
Yeah, but a 2-litre diesel car with AdBlue is got such low emissions that the road tax is only £30.
That AdBlue stuff's really expensive, by the way.
It is, Stephen, but what it does, it lowers the emissions. So your diesel car, in some cases, is actually cleaner than a petrol car. And what we need to do is have a solution that covers all of the different types of fuels and all of the different solutions, whether that be electric, etc. Yes, the infrastructure for the electrics needs to be there. And if you look, and I'll use Temple Patrick as an example, there's one charger in Temple Patrick. You would need probably 10 or 15 if you really want to make this somewhere where people can charge the cars at park and rides, etc., etc., where then they can get the public transport into the city, etc. This is a much bigger solution than just saying electric cars. They're more expensive. They don't have the range in some cases. If I want to travel, say, down to Dublin and back in the same day, I can't charge the car while I'm down there and back. It's just impossible.
What's the Pope driving? Is his electric?
A Pope mobile.
I know it's a Pope mobile, but is it electric?
I have no idea, Stephen. But what I'm saying is there are different solutions for different people. Some people need a petrol, some people need a diesel, some people will need an electric. What we need to do is have a combination of everything. And as we move towards more electric and stuff, as the infrastructure grows, then the change will happen at a better pace. Mm-hmm. But you can't just click your fingers and expect it to happen in one fell swoop. It's just not going to happen.
Thank you, James. Vincent. Morning, Vincent. Calling us from where?
Morning. A couple of points.
Where are you calling us from?
Near Rosslea in Fambana.
Rosslea.
Right. In Enniskillen, we have 5 charging points in Enniskillen. They're all in paid car parks. If you're charging your car, you've got to pay for parking at the same time.
Ah.
There's no free parking. The rapid charger is about 5 miles outside the town. So if you go out there to charge on that, you're losing 10 miles straight away unnecessarily.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Exactly. Now, the company, ESB, who've got the charging system all over Ireland, north and south, the contract should be taken off them. They've had a number of major grants to put in.
Hold on. We shouldn't be talking about that company because you've identified the area. I'm sure there's only a limited amount of companies in that area. So I'm going to say thank you, Vincent. Noel next morning, Noel.
Morning.
Good morning. I'm just thinking, sorry I'm getting off on a tangent here, but I meant to ask all of you this. I went into a garage yesterday, a petrol station yesterday, right? And my diesel was 135.9 a litre. And it was this super diesel stuff. I picked up the wee kind of knob before I realised I had it in my hand. And it was 135.9. And ordinary diesel was 123. Now, what is the difference between diesel and super diesel? 12p a litre. So what is that getting me? Do you understand, Noel? I'm sure someone here this morning, you know, you go into these and you've got two choices of diesel in these petrol stations.
Well,
I near wet myself. 12p a litre more.
Well, that just depends on the type of car you're driving, right?
But what does the super diesel do?
Well, for one thing, you're going to pay more for it anyway. But it does probably more miles per gallon or something.
Well, I'm sure somebody will ring in and tell us. Anyway, go ahead, Noel.
Right, my point is this, right? There's two questions here. All this electricity for the car, who's going to pay for all these points? And is electric, have you got to pay for electric as you charge your car? Or who's going to pay for it if 100,000 cars are charging?
Yeah, well, eventually we will.
Well, so you have to pay for your fuel, but you're not going to pay for electric for the car, right? Plus, if they do away with cars and petrol and diesel, the amount of money is generated from them from taxes, where's that going to come from to make up the difference? Where's it going to come from? You know? That's a bigger picture.
Yeah, I think it's a good question, Noel. Thank you. Gary in Crossgar. Morning, Gary.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you doing today?
I'm in bed here, actually.
You're in bed?
Aye.
Lucky
anyway,
for you.
I was just thinking about you were vilifying the Lord Mayor of Belfast about driving a big car.
I was not. I was asking a question.
No, well, okay, it sounded like vilification. But anyway, see, you drive a big gas guzzler or petrol guzzler, because I know that what are you driving? I would love an electric car, but I'm a pensioner and I can't afford one.
There used to be really good tax incentives for electric cars, Gary, but the government changed the tax incentives. They're not as good anymore.
Well, even that's not a point. I don't really use my car that much as I used to. I drove lorries for years, so like I'm a fairly professional driver, if you like. And I think, in my own mind, that the electric cars are much, much too expensive. I know they're sort of still in the infancy yet, but, yeah. You know, I can't see them coming down in my time. I'm 81, and I can't see them coming down before I kick the bucket, you know?
You see, I'm not organised enough to be able to... You see this thing about... Obviously, because I nearly run out of petrol all the time.
I think that's unforgivable.
I really do.
You have a gauge on your motor. And
I know.
I never let my car go below a quarter full, and the main reason for it is because once you get to the bottom of the tank, all the gunge and all the impurities that are in the fuel previous goes into your system.
Well, my car's nearly always on empty.
Well, to me, that's irresponsible, if you like.
It's not very BBC, is it?
Anyway, no, well, I'm not going to the BBC thing at all because
you love us. You love the BBC and this organisation.
Look, I really... In our house...
Wrap your arms around me and tell me you love me.
I don't know so much. I couldn't put my arms around you because you're far too big. But on any occasion, I like the BBC and we have Radio Ulster on literally all day.
Good man.
You know, and...
I heard Nicola Weir on last night. She's got a new farming show. They've allowed her in the airwaves. And this is Nicola Weir. She's reported for the Nolan Show. They've given her own show. And I was gobsmacked. The show was really good.
Oh, well, I mean, there's such a thing as good shows.
It was really good.
I tell you, one of the shows I really like. I like the one where all the young people come to the top table.
Aye, top table. It was on, Monday night.
That really gets me. I think that's a hell of a good idea.
Yeah.
Because the young people at the end of the day are going to be the ones in the future that are running the country. Yeah.
Well, that
and
show.
It's nice to hear them being so responsible.
Well, that show went out in BBC Three on Monday night and BBC Scotland. It's going to be going out in BBC Wales. That went out around the UK and it's a BBC Northern Ireland origination.
Quite right, because as I say, it's giving the young people a voice. Yeah. You know, but I think that the young people, 16 and that kind of thing, are as wised up now as everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh. In fact, more so, because when I was 16, I mean, I'm not going to that in any detail. But anyway, the whole point was, one of my problems was too, I was a musician and was running around the country as well, you know, at 16 and 17, and I just hadn't time to...
Were you a bit of a messer, Gary, in your day?
Pardon?
Were you a bit of a messer in your day?
I could still be a bit of a messer yet, to tell you the truth.
Could you?
Why? I still play my instrument and whatever.
Do you?
I play guitar and keyboards.
You play your instrument every day?
No, well, mostly. Now, we're talking about a guitar. Don't be double meaning here.
No, no, no. I'm not double meaning.
That's good.
A guitar?
Aye. One of them things with all the strings and all on them. It's a good article. I've been playing one since I was 12.
Wow.
There you are.
Do you get a lot out of music?
Sorry?
Do you get a lot out of music?
Of course I do. Even now when I'm sort of retired from the game, I still sit and practice my guitar nearly every day. That's if it's even only to keep the old arthritic fingers going, you know. And I'm wasting time here.
Okay. Listen, Gary, lovely to talk to you.
And the same to you, Stevie. Have a nice day. Anyway.
Thanks a lot, mate. Get up out of bed.
Why? I get up about 10 o'clock.
Thanks, Gary.
It's not a kicking ass at 10 o'clock now, anyway.
It's not.
All the best.
Morning to you.